Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Charlie Kirk Show. You are in for a treat. Is Antifa a domestic terror organization? Where do they get their funding from? Who is behind them? Buckle up. We have an amazing episode of the Charlie Kirk Show coming right now. But before we answer those questions, please go to your podcast app, press subscribe. And if you're already subscribed, please give us a 5-star rating on the Charlie Kirk Show and leave a review. But if you're not subscribed, please press subscribe. And just think of one friend right now who you could get to subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show. We are surging in the charts. We are continually in the top of news and politics on the Apple podcast. So here we go. This is Charlie Kirk, host of The Charlie Kirk Show, your home of libertarian conservative thinking. Let's go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
I had the amazing opportunity to sit down with Andy Ngo, who was brutally assaulted by Antifa in the streets of Portland. Andy is a journalist. Andy is a racial minority, and Andy also happens to be gay, but none of that matters to Antifa because he dared to investigate who is behind them, why they're so violent, and what are they doing. They gave him a brain bleed for this, and zero people have been arrested or held accountable since Andy had a brain bleed in the streets of Portland earlier this summer. I had an amazing opportunity to sit down with Andy and had a very lively conversation with him. Who funds Antifa? Where did they come from? What's their history? How do we get rid of them? Who's supporting them? And most importantly, what are they going to do next? Here comes my exclusive conversation with Andy Ngo. Buckle up. Here we go. All right. Joining me now is someone who's become a very good friend. Andy Ngo?
Yes.
Said that correctly?
I did.
I'm sure people have been butchering your name quite a lot.
Yeah, but it's okay.
So we are here now to talk about a lot of things. First of all, I think you are an American hero.
Thank you.
And what you went through is extraordinary. So this is mostly an audio-based podcast. So I'm going to do my best to walk through from my perspective what happened to you, and then I want you to tell me from your perspective what happened to you. If you're listening to this podcast, you probably saw the video of, in Portland recently, a journalist who was walking the streets and got pummeled and got plastered with, what were they called, concrete milkshakes? Is that right?
The police said that. They never collected a sample, so that's never been confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
So...
okay, so...
let's just say unknown substances.
So, but you had a concussion, correct?
I did, but that
was... essentially, you got the crap beat out of you is what happened.
Yeah, because people were wearing tactical gloves, and there was a dozen people...
right, so from my perspective, watching this video, you just got slammed, and you got a concussion, you got hospitalized, while people were... onlookers were going by, Antifa was just beating the crap out of you, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you tell me from your perspective what happened that day. You're a journalist.
I am.
You're not a conservative.
I'm center-right.
You're center-right, but you wouldn't say, like, hey, I'm a conservative. You wouldn't, like, raise your hand. Okay. You're definitely not all these other caricatures of the right wing that they try to, you know, portray you as. You're also gay.
Yes.
Correct? Mm-hmm. And so you walk the streets trying to do real reporting. What would possibly motivate the anti-fascist people, the wonderful anti-fascist people, to want to beat the crap out of you?
Right, the so-called anti-fascist.
I'm playing somewhat sarcastic devil's advocate, but what did you do wrong?
I dare to be critical of Antifa's violent extremism.
Stop right there. What is Antifa?
Antifa is a movement ideology made up of anarchists and communists, and they believe that we are in a time of ascendant fascism and that their movement is part of a vanguard that will be able to usher in a revolution where fascism is crushed. And they view the Trump administration as well as President Trump.
And anyone even neutral to Trump to be pacifying that rise of fascism.
Right.
That's the best description of Antifa that I've heard. They're very violent, they're militant, and they wear masks, right? So if anyone listening to this has seen these pictures of these folks wearing masks with the flags, that is Antifa.
Yes, that's a tactic called Black Bloc. They don't always adopt that, mind you. So... in the course of this interview, I would like to point out
that
whereas a lot of the attention is paid on the street hooliganism because, well, in some ways it's theatrical, it's outrageous, right? People in masks and essentially costumes beating up people. They draw morale from a much larger number of Antifa sympathizers or even people who agree with that their ideology, who don't engage in the violence, but nonetheless work to normalize and mainstream their ideology and tactics.
So walk me through that day. You decide that you want to go cover what was going on. I don't even remember. Was it a counter-protest protest? Seems like this keeps on happening in some way in Portland, Oregon. So what was going on that day? You just went as a journalist to do what, and then you get concussed and hospitalized by Antifa.
It was on the 29th of June, so as of this recording, nearly 2.5 months ago. I work as an independent journalist. I document lots of events, particularly protests. Political protests interest me because in Portland it's become so volatile. We've had riots over and over since the election of Donald Trump. And on that day, when they were marching in downtown Portland, so this is a major American city, in the middle of the day, in front of the police precinct, ironically, and they were chanting, "No hate, no fear." This is when a mob of them suddenly descended
on Antifa?
Correct.
On you?
Correct.
Out of nowhere?
From the crowd that they were
Did they recognize you?
Yes, they knew my name.
They knew your name. Mm-hmm. They knew the work that you were doing. Yeah. So walk us backwards a little bit. What is the work you've been doing against Antifa?
Well, if you notice, Antifa gets a lot of favorable coverage in the left-wing press and even the mainstream
Which is
press.
All the press.
So, I mean, you know, CNN's Chris Cuomo, Don Lemon have essentially praised Antifa.
Joe
tactics.
Biden praised them.
Yes. Well, that's the genius of the name Antifa, right? They make it so that if you go against them, then they say that you're against anti-fascists. I was the one who dared to go against the grain, and I have an audience reach in that I've written for very mainstream publications like the Wall Street Journal, like the New York Post or National Review. And I have spent time highlighting things that I've seen, how they attack citizens, take over parts of the streets in downtown. And so I became a thorn in their narrative because they're not able to do what they do unless they feel empowered by a certain segment of the population who basically excuse their violent extremism.
So you've been exposing them for quite some time leading up to June 29th?
Correct.
June 29th comes, you're covering the protest, and they single you out, and they say, now's the time for us to retaliate against him. Is that a correct way to...
Yeah, I mean, they didn't announce that verbally.
No, but I'm describing what's happening to the audience.
Yeah.
Because you were a thorn in their side.
Correct.
And so would you say Portland is one of the hotbeds of Antifa nationally?
Absolutely. I think it has the...
What are the biggest cities where Antifa is?
So Portland has the oldest Antifa chapter.
How old?
It's called since 2007.
Wow, okay. Yeah. That is old.
Yeah.
Because I haven't heard about it up until recent years.
New York City has a movement here as a chapter. Berkeley. There's one in Dayton, Ohio. They're all over.
No, of course. But like, what are the biggest, like, where's the hotbed, you think? Portland is definitely one of them. Seattle?
Portland, Philadelphia, New York City, and Berkeley.
I've experienced them in Philadelphia.
In Seattle as well.
I mean, I got stormed out of a restaurant in Philadelphia with, you know, the great Candace Owens and I were eating breakfast, and Antifa shows up and storms me out. So I have so many questions to ask you about that, but let's take it back to June 29th. You get beat up, so then you have a concussion. You probably got dizzy, right? And for those of you that haven't seen the video, I'm going to post it on my Twitter feed correlating with the drop of this episode to promote this episode so you can see it. You took the beating, like, unbelievably well. I mean, if anyone would have done that to me, I would have tackled somebody, let's put it that way. I mean, because you were just getting stuff thrown at you. They were screaming at you, berating you. Here you are, a minority gay journalist. Three things that the left pretends to care about, and they're just hitting you. So then you go to the hospital, correct? You find out that you've been concussed.
Wasn't a concussion.
Walk me through the injuries. Yeah.
I had a brain hemorrhage.
Okay.
Because the people were beating me on my head.
So you had a severe brain injury.
Yes, exactly.
And so was a police report filed?
Yes.
Did the police approach you right when it happened to help you, or the police did nothing?
They did nothing. That's why I was
so the Portland police did nothing?
Correct. Outside of the police precinct.
What did they do in the police precinct?
Well, I mean, this beating happened outside of the police precinct, and there were no police there at all at any point.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, right outside of their precinct?
Correct.
So you go to the hospital, then you go fill out a police report?
Yes.
You fill out the police report, and you describe what happened, and then what?
Well, 2.5 months later now, there's been no arrest.
Have you any updates from the police?
Not in probably about 2 months.
So you're trying to tell me that no individual has been arrested for giving you a severe brain injury?
Correct.
Fact. Every year in America, guns are used over 2 million times in self-defense. Fact. The average self-defense legal case costs between $50,000 and $70,000 for the victim. This is shocking, especially when you consider that these Americans were just defending themselves and their loved ones like you or I would. And that's why I'm so excited to introduce, this is amazing, so excited, our new partnership with the United States Concealed Carry Association. Everyone listening to this that owns a firearm needs to be a member of the USCCA, the United States Concealed Carry Association. The USCCA was founded in 2003 in response to the growing threats to Americans' rights. And boy, does the left want to take away our rights, freedom, and ability to defend themselves. They provide industry-leading self-defense education, training, and legal protection to over 300,000 members, and the fastest growing community of responsibly armed Americans in the country. Plus, they have awesome giveaways. This month, they're giving away $1,000 to 19 lucky winners for free, totally for free. You could buy a Sig, Glock, or a ton of pepper spray with that. Just text Kirk to 87222. That's all. Text Kirk right now to 87222, 87222 to claim your free entries. There's no catch. The USCCA just believes in helping to protect every responsible American out there. That's it. Text Kirk to 87222 to find out more and claim your entries. You have a civil and constitutional obligation to protect yourself and your family, so do it right now. That's Kirk, K-I-R-K, Kirk, to 87222. Let me ask you a question. If they were wearing Make America Great Again hats and they beat the crap out of you, do you think they would have got arrested?
Yes, I do.
Why do you think that is? I mean, this is a critical issue of our time. How is it that they're able to get away with it?
So in Portland, the issue we have on governance in that is that our mayor, Ted Wheeler, is also our police commissioner.
So, who is this guy?
Well, Ted Wheeler is he's sort of establishment Democrat, but he's up for re-election in a city that has a certain constituency that are sympathetic to Antifa. He doesn't want to anger them.
Who are these people that are sympathetic besides the radical anarchists? They can't be more than 10 or 15% of the population, right?
That's correct.
At most.
But the thing is, okay, like, not very many, a small number of people are sympathetic to the street violence, right? Because overwhelmingly, that doesn't appeal to the public. However, Antifa's branding and PR, I would say, is very good and on point in that they say we oppose fascists, white supremacists, we're here to defend our communities, our vulnerable people. When they use all these terms, these words, you know, it makes
marketing propaganda, it makes the public
who are on the left, and Portland is a political monoculture that's just progressive. So these people be like, yeah, I don't necessarily support Antifa's violence, but the right wing is worse, so...
So you're trying to tell me not one person has been held criminally accountable for what they did to you?
That's correct.
What's your interpretation of that? Anger? Discontent? Confusion?
I'm angry.
Mm-hmm.
Angry.
So you? What if they targeted you because you were gay? You don't know. Maybe so. We don't know. I mean, this is a fair question, right? I mean, the point is that we don't know, and yet you're being treated as if it wasn't a legitimate act of violence, right?
Well, Rose,
it's as if when non-leftists get attacked, that's a perfectly permissible form of violence.
Well, this is the issue. So Antifa's agitating for a revolution. They're not going to achieve that in this country. However, what I am concerned about is that there are parts of their ideology and tactics are normalized now in not just mainstream discourse, but mainstream media. So, like, political violence, particularly when it comes from the left, is not particularly even seen as controversial anymore. Like, punching a Nazi is celebrated, milkshaking, people thought that was cute. There's that. And then in terms of their ideology, they have basically somebody like AOC and the Squad, who have adopted as their talking points the demonization of law enforcement, right? The demonization and delegitimization of even American sovereignty through attacking particularly our border enforcement facilities and officers.
Like, talk about that more.
Well, this is all, it all works towards Antifa's project.
What is their project?
Their project is to the breakdown of nation states.
Who's funding them? Who's behind this?
We don't know.
Guess. You know? Conjecture. Based on the evidence you have, who would be behind something?
Well, I'll say what I know. So, Antifa as an international movement started in Western Europe, particularly in Germany, after World War II. It didn't really take root in the U.S. until very recently, mm-hmm. 2016 onward, the election of Donald Trump, which was a huge propaganda win for them, because then they were able to radicalize and recruit, you know, many people on the left who have Trump derangement syndrome mm-hmm. and felt like they needed to go out and do something. So the movement itself in the U.S. is very, very young. All their different chapters or factions operate rather autonomously. However, some chapters, like the Rose City Antifa in Portland, they are more of like a formalized group in that they have...
Do they have a hierarchy?
They say they don't, but...
That's why I'm asking.
They say,
I don't believe it. You can't organize continually without a hierarchy.
That's correct. So what I've seen in the field, like when they're out actually doing the Black Bloc demonstrations, is they have the people who give commands.
So that's a hierarchy.
There's a structure, correct. So they do have sources of funding. I haven't been able to penetrate and find out yet. This is
so
like
somebody is funding them?
People or peoples or organizations, yes.
Would it be fair to say that they're a domestic terror organization? I believe that.
I think what the DHS has said in 2016 is that some of their tactics are forms of domestic terrorism. And I think their ideology is radical and extreme. I think, you know, in the U.S., we don't proscribe groups. We don't ban organizations because we have the First Amendment protects you to even allows you to have extreme ideas, right?
So unless you incite violence.
Correct. So it's kind of, you know, to call them a domestic terrorist organization, I think may miss the point because they're not so much an organization but a movement made up of many different groups. So
which groups?
Well, I mean, there's groups like By Any Means Necessary. There's a blog called It's Going Down. Like
all these people have come after me
correct.
Personally.
It's a whole network.
They come after me and Turning Point USA.
So some of them don't even have the name Antifa in the
yes,
name, but
right.
they adopt the same
so,
ideology.
When you talk about Antifa, you're talking about the broader collection of
correct.
Apparatchiks that want to destroy America from within.
Yes.
And so do you feel or do you see this decaying or growing?
Well, if Trump is to win 2020...
Is it going to get worse?
Yes.
How worse?
Well, look at how much they were able to grow from that one event in 2016.
Which event?
The election of Donald Trump.
Oh, okay, sure.
Right? If he was to win again, that would be another huge propaganda win for them to recruit more people.
So what is their goal? Total and complete rebellion against America and the deconstruction of it from within?
Yeah, so they're against liberal democracy. So here's the thing, like those Democrats who have sort of been not willing to
denounce
them.
Like Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. They're,
we did a whole video on this, by the way. I don't know if you saw it, but we did a
did
whole
you?
Video.
Well, yeah. Thank you. Well, so Antifa may sort of not go after them so much now, but if they were to achieve their goals, I mean, they want to dismantle parties, political parties, period. So they would go after the Democrats just as they would the Republicans, by the way. So that's a mistake of thinking that this is a movement that they're going to sort of try to mainstream in some ways. The ideology, anarcho-communism, to me, I struggle to see how it's a coherent ideology.
It's not.
Right.
It's rooted in just tear it all down, let the world burn.
Right. So a lot of the strongest ideologues, you know, they have the literature that they disseminate and all that. Of course, we don't really have examples of how it would look like if their ideology was implemented, like, you know, across a region. But I think it would look something like Somalia or Libya, failed states of where you have different factions that control different territories, and depending on if even just having the wrong ideas, the state will, I mean, not the state, the tribes that control that area will lynch you, kill you. People can't go into certain areas depending on what affiliations they have. I mean, essentially, they've done that in Portland. That's kind of what they do when...
So you're comparing Portland to Somalia?
In the regards of that, there's a faction of people here you see in their chants, whose streets, our streets, right? They really believe this is our streets. If you referring to right-wing people, conservatives, pro-Trump, if you dare to come here and be patriotic, even if you're peaceful, we will come and confront you. We will physically, I mean, when they say we're here for community self-defense, what they mean is offensive physical confrontation.
So look, I'm a business owner, and I also run a nonprofit business, Turning Point USA, with tons of employees and a lot of responsibility. But anyone that runs a business, you know this. If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. But the problem growing businesses have that keeps them from knowing their numbers is the hodgepodge of business systems. I know this from personal experience, different spreadsheets, different systems. It takes so much time. So I have one system for accounting, another for sales, another for inventory, so on and so forth. It's just a big inefficient mess, taking up way too much time and too many resources that hurt the bottom line. So I'm introducing right now to you something that I'm really passionate about, NetSuite by Oracle, the business management software that handles every aspect of your business in an easy-to-use cloud platform, giving you the visibility and control you need to grow. With NetSuite, you save time, money, and unneeded headaches by managing sales, finance, accounting, orders, and HR instantly right from your desktop or phone. That's why NetSuite is the world's number one cloud business system. And right now, NetSuite is offering you valuable insights with a free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits. You have to go visit to it right now. It's really amazing. Go visit it right now, netsuite.com/Kirk. That's netsuite.com/Kirk to download your free guide, 7 key strategies to grow your profits, netsuite.com/Kirk. Thousands of the best known brands and fastest growing businesses, including Turning Point USA, use NetSuite to manage their business, and now it's available to you. You'll learn how to optimize processes, drive operational excellence, and sell across more channels and much more. Go right now to netsuite.com/Kirk. That's netsuite.com/Kirk. So going back to the Portland issue, you mentioned that Antifa says whose streets are streets. Elaborate more on that.
Well, they really believe that these streets, being the city of Portland itself, belongs to them. In that, I mean, they not only do they reject the authority of the state through, like, police, mm-hmm. right? That's why they do their own community policing. Like, they encourage their victims of violence. You know, because sometimes some of their own people have been beaten. They encourage them to not cooperate with police because they believe in their own vigilante justice. So they want to operate a society that runs parallel to our current legal system. They intimidate people into silence, into mm-hmm. supporting them. You know, there was a business owner I know in Portland who put up a large banner that said something like fascist F off or something like that. And I just thought that was a little weird because I knew of the owner. And many businesses in Portland do messages like that. And I just reached out and asked, like, you know, why normally you're not so political. Why did you put this big banner on recently when there was another riot on the 17th of August? And this person just let me know that we do that so that they don't target our business. So, and this is something I hear repeated in other places. It's kind of like, as a small business owner in Portland, which Antifa do target business because they're anti-capitalism. They view entrepreneurs and success as like manifestations of oppression. So they, you know, in addition to targeting individuals, they target property. So I wonder if that may contribute to why we see like social justice messaging on so many businesses in Portland in a way that doesn't really seem organic. I think it's because Antifa and their allies have created an atmosphere where people are afraid to even just be politically neutral.
Mm-hmm. And if they don't show the flag, they're going to get destroyed, metaphorically. Mm-hmm. So there's been some attacks laid on you recently. What are those?
Yeah, so if you read the headlines in the past 2 weeks, you know, whether it comes from Media Matters or Salon or Daily Beast,
they're going after you.
Or Rolling Stone, they're going after me. So there was an undercover Antifa informant, and it's actually quite amusing. He was interviewed on a left-wing blog, kind of not really well-known place, and he accused me of being essentially party to a violent criminal conspiracy by right-wingers. And he released this 18-minute video that all it shows is me standing in a public street in an area where there were some right-wing protesters. But this was used and framed as evidence that I was part of the group, was aware of what they were doing, talking about. Absolutely false, defamatory. But it's repeated. I mean, I'm sure it's, you know this, like the left-wing media, particularly with the online publications, the whole thing operates like a machine, you know? So one narrative from a fringe blog then is repeated over and over on these other headlines and other publications that have a much wider reach. And then they set the new narrative.
I wouldn't know anything about this.
So
you wrote a piece in The Spectator.
Yeah, I was in the UK when this stuff was breaking. I woke up like on a last Tuesday morning and then seeing like my inbox was blowing up with all these people calling me like, you're a fraud, you're going to jail. And I'm just like, what is going on? And then I see, these headlines in Daily Beast and all these journalists, all these Twitter check marks amplifying this message to try to bring me down. It's absolute rubbish. Robbie Swerve at Reason did a really great piece that was published that basically debunked these narratives because he analyzed the video, which none of the other places were willing to do. It doesn't show anything incriminating on my part at all. But the goal, I mean, I think they're all doing this because they view me as a threat to Antifa. Like, Antifa for so long has been able to attack citizens and property basically with impunity. And these are just private people who have no reach, right? Mm-hmm. But when it came to them attacking me, they messed with the wrong person because I'm not willing to back down. And on top of that, I have an audience. And so ever since then, I mean, I never wanted myself to be so centered in the story, but I've continually had to speak out over and over because I am not giving up on this, that people don't recognize how extreme and violent this movement is. And even those who are not engaging in the street hooliganism, mm-hmm. like the whole ideology is extreme. It's really working to destroy this country. And that's not an exaggeration.
How many members are there in Antifa?
I get asked this and I can't even estimate because there's no formal membership. It's like technically they say that they're all anonymous and the relationships between one faction and another are somewhat tenuous. So it's hard. Like, this is, like, why I actually really appreciate the attention that senators like Senator Ted Cruz and other congressmen and, of course, President Trump has been bringing on Antifa because, like, federal authorities and intelligence officials need to look into this movement.
Do you think it's foreign-funded?
I've seen no evidence of that, so I can't speculate.
But wouldn't it make sense if a foreign country that wanted to usurp our system, wouldn't they be pro-Antifa? I mean, that would make sense.
Here's what we've seen. So there's been a lot of reports and attention on how Russia played a role into trying to put its finger on the narrative in politics in America leading up to the 2016 election. And people kept focusing on all the pro-Trump stuff, the pro-Republican stuff. What got much less attention is Russia's role in amplifying very divisive narratives and movements coming from the left and far left.
Why wasn't there a special counsel on that?
There should have been. Like, I mean, some of the Black Lives Matter Facebook pages that had very wide reach, selling merchandise and all that. Like, I think that, we need to be, like, thinking of foreign actors as just being pro-Trump. No, they're working on trying to divide this country in whatever way they can. So whether it be through pro-Trump stuff or anti-Trump stuff. And unfortunately, not enough attention is paid into how foreign funding has helped amplify divisive movements on the left.
Every day, President Trump is facing unprecedented obstruction and harassment from the liberal mob and their fake news allies. He's been exonerated twice, and they're still calling for his impeachment because they know Congress is their last hope. He needs your support now more than ever. Text CHARLIE to 88022 and receive official Trump alerts directly to your phone. You'll gain exclusive 2020 updates directly from President Trump himself. Be the first to know when new Trump merchandise is available, and you'll even be able to put your input on key issues to help shape the 2020 campaign. Again, all you have to do is text CHARLIE to 88022. While Democrats and the fake news media have spent the last 2 years focused on bogus witch hunts, President Trump has been working around the clock to make America great again. Make sure you're getting your news directly from the source by texting Charlie to 88022. Again, be sure to text Charlie to 88022 today. This was paid for by the Trump Make America Great Again Committee, a joint fundraising committee authorized by and composed of Donald J. Trump for President, Inc., and the Republican National Committee that is dedicated to making America great again.
Based on the arrests that have been made, who are these people in other cities? Because there have been some arrests made.
Yeah, you mean like nationally?
Like, sure. Who are these people? What are their backgrounds?
Some of them are just normal people.
People who decide to put on a hockey mask.
This is the insidious nature of it, for example. So just this past weekend, there was an Antifa counter-demonstration in Boston.
And 8 people were arrested, right?
Several dozen. 36, I believe.
Good.
Yeah. So, and the Boston police released the names, right, and the locations of where these people are from. Yeah. So some people started looking into who are these. Some of them are just teachers, which...
Teachers? Yeah. There were teachers on this list?
Yeah. I've seen that in Portland as well. You shouldn't be surprised. Education, discipline...
That's a great thing. That's a great point.
Yeah, the education...
I'm going to look into that. Are these high school teachers, or...?
This one, I believe, is middle school. So, I mean, the various disciplines where these sort of...
Thank you for saying that. Go ahead.
Okay.
Donate to Turning Point USA, everybody, to save your country. Go ahead.
In Philadelphia, there are 3 people facing felony charges related to the alleged beating of 2 Marines last year. And one of them was a Democratic operative, and he has been photographed with Maxine Waters. And so some of them are actually people who work in progressive politics. Is that too? And then there's some of them... This is just anecdotal from what I've seen based on the arrests in Portland, which sometimes do happen. They're young people who look like they may have some type of personality disorders and are drawn into the violent extremist ideology, right?
Yeah. So there's teachers that had to go to some form of college, and they're teaching the next generation that on their weekends they go put on a hockey mask and go beat the crap out of journalists that they disagree with. Essentially, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they're not necessarily the ones who are swinging the bats or throwing the bricks, right? But they're just there. I mean, there's many people who help Antifa in ways that don't engage in the violence. For example, they have people who watch the cops, who monitor faces of journalists that they don't recognize. If Antifa militants know that somebody cannot be relied on for consistent, favorable coverage, they will harass them and menace them and make it so that they either can't record or they're pushed out. I mean, on the 17th of August, the most recent riot in Portland, there was Washington Examiner reporter who was harassed, and he had to leave
Julio
the
Rojas.
Area. You know about that. He left the area because they were threatening violence against him. That's what they do.
If I went up to Antifa, just for everybody to understand, I would be hospitalized in 5 minutes or less. How is this acceptable?
Well, it's not. It's just that...
Our country is in such upside-down state. I mean, if these folks were wearing Make America Great Again hats, they'd be arrested for even saying the violent threats.
This whole battle is asymmetrical in that the narrative that has been set is that because the right wing is so dangerous and deplorable and fascistic, whatever, that by any means necessary, they need to be destroyed.
The ends justify the means.
Correct, including violence.
Very Machiavellian.
Yes.
So violence, chaos, civil unrest, whatever it takes, by any means necessary. That's actually the name, by any means necessary. Anything else you wanted to mention before I say one or two things I haven't... that you want to plug or that's on your mind in this topic?
So it's been 2.5 months. There's been no arrests. I'm trying to keep an open mind about Portland police. You know, I've met some of the rank-and-file officers, and they're great men and women, but it seems like the issue is coming from much higher up. I fortunately have been taken on as a client for Publius Lex, which is a civil rights nonprofit started by Harmeet Dhillon.
Yeah, Harmeet's great.
She's my attorney. And basically, I'm sure you noticed this as well, but the legacy civil rights organizations, whether they be ACLU...
No, they won't help you.
They don't, right. They've turned their backs on politically inconvenient
yep.
people who've had their rights violated.
However, if you were an illegal immigrant who something bad happened, if a Make America Great Again guy would have beat you up in the middle of the street, the ACLU would be there with cameras.
Of course. So if
but you don't fit the narrative of the ACLU yeah. or the NAACP. Well, the NAACP wouldn't fit their ethos, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So they weren't there to support Candace. When Candace Owens got stormed out of a restaurant because she was black, conservative, in Philadelphia, the NAACP wasn't there. The legacy civil rights organizations are a joke.
So if people are wondering, you know, how can they get involved in this and help me achieve justice, there's a legal fund set up. And you can check the details out on my Twitter.
What's your Twitter?
At Mr. Andy Ngo, or go to PubliusLex.com. You know, the amazing, with the, like, I don't take any of this outpouring support for me for granted. Like, I'm still receiving ongoing threats of violence and all that, but still, the support that people have shown to me has been really amazing. It's like, you know, like, so many people have been beaten up and assaulted by Antifa, and they have no way to get their voice and their story out. And so for me, like, with this legal fund, like, I want to, like, be fighting on behalf of not just myself, but all these other people in Portland in particular who've had their civil rights violated, who've been menaced, abused, assaulted, or robbed in Portland in daylight in front of police.
Wow.
So
no arrests. Mm-hmm. We don't know how many members Antifa started post-World War II, Western Europe. They want to essentially overthrow Western democracy. They are the anarchist communists that have come together in this relationship. We don't know who funds it. We can make some guesses, some conjecture. We don't know if it's foreign funded, but a reasonable supposition would say that foreign actors are probably pretty happy that this is happening, that they're on the Antifa side.
Well, it's because it's such a divisive movement, right? And it's
inherently divisive.
And it's trying to break down rule of law in America. So, of course, foreign enemies of the United States would support this type of movement. There's a reason why, if you pay attention to certain foreign networks, there's a reason why they pay attention to Antifa's. They amplify stories that work on this division, I'll say. You'll see that.
Wow. And so, in final closing, my last question is this. Are you optimistic or pessimistic that Antifa... Do you think Antifa will grow or diminish over the next 5 to 10 years in America?
I think it's entirely dependent on if Trump wins.
Let's say Trump wins. You think they explode in membership?
Yes.
And you think the violence would be even more than what we've seen?
Yes. They'll be emboldened and they'll view a second election victory as a mandate.
You know, I think that what the media is going to try to do is they're going to try to say this is one of the reasons not to vote for Trump. That they're going to say, if you want this stuff to stop, then vote for the Democrat, even though it probably won't long term. But that's going to be one of the tools that they use. Andy, you're an American hero. Stay tough. I love how you don't play a victim.
Thank you.
But we got to find these people that did this to you and hold them accountable.
Yes.
Severe brain injury just because you were being a journalist. Unbelievable. Thanks, Andy, for your time.
My pleasure.
Appreciate it. Thank you to Andy for sitting down. And for those of you that want to support his work, please go look up Andy online. And he spells his last name N-G-O. That's N-G-O. And Andy's a great friend of Turning Point USA and of the program. For those of you that want to support Turning Point USA, please go to tpusa.com. For students out there, we want you to get started at Turning Point USA. Start a chapter, attend an event, do whatever you possibly can. That's tpusa.com. There is a place for you in our movement. That's tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. And finally, please support our sponsors. Give us a subscribe and go ask us a question on the review page of The Charlie Kirk Show. We love the feedback. We love the encouragement. And we are surging on the charts thanks to you. Press subscribe. Get your friend to do the same. Maybe you want to support Turning Point USA today. tpusa.com. Tax-deductible donation. It really helps. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Charlie Kirk Show. Till next time, this is Charlie Kirk, host of The Charlie Kirk Show, which is your home of conservative libertarian rational thinking. See you next time.
Hey, everybody, it's Laura Ingraham, and I'd like to invite you to check out my new show, The Laura Ingraham Podcast, exclusively on Podcast One. So join me 3 days a week as I cover politics, the culture, everything in between, laugh, learn, all at the same time. We got you locked and loaded, and you'll be ready for the week, ready for the month. And it's very easy. You just subscribe today, download new episodes exclusively at podcastone.com or wherever you find your favorite podcast. And you know mine's going to be one of your newest.